Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the JSW Steel Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashwin Bajaj, Group Head of Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, operator, and very good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to welcome you to JSW Steel's earnings call for Q3 FY 2023. We have with us today the management team represented by Mr. Seshagiri Rao, Joint MD and Group CFO, Mr. Jayant Acharya, Deputy Managing Director, Mr. Rajeev Pai, CFO, and Mr. G.S. Rathore, Chief Operating Officer. We'll start with opening remarks by Mr. Rao and then open the floor to Q&A. With that, over to you, Mr. Rao.
Good evening. Good evening to everybody. We welcome you all for the briefing of our Q3 performance for the financial year FY 2023. Global economy, as you know, has been battling with several headwinds, high inflation, high interest rates, and very high government debt to GDP, with limited fiscal space to various governments and worsening financial conditions. The outcome of this is everybody is talking about very slow growth to mild recession across the globe, other than certain countries like India. Over and above that, there is one trigger which we have seen recently. China announcing from zero COVID to COVID to all policy and the easing restrictions in the property sector is the trigger where we are seeing commodity prices going up and the outlook slightly changing. Over and above that, we also have seen two more restrictive trade-related issues globally. One is by U.S. government, the Inflation Reduction Act, which has been passed, is restricting, in our view, is trade, free trade, because they're giving more and more importance for energy transition using the materials within USA or friendly countries with whom they have FTAs. Across many countries are talking about this restrictive trade-related act is being objected upon. In addition to that, we are also seeing a disturbing news from Europe about Carbon Border Adjustment Tax. Even this particular initiative is being used to restrict the trade, particularly a developing country like India, where we have our own nationally determined contributions, where we have given as a country that we will reduce our carbon emissions by 2070 to become neutral. Whereas now we will get penalized if we have to export to Europe. At the same time, the European countries' allowances are getting continued up to 2032 or even beyond. That is why this appears to be little bit of trade restrictive policies that is being followed by West. This will lead to, in my view, is concentrated trade or another form of globalization, which is regionalization of trade. This is also not a very encouraging news. At this backdrop, if we look at as far as India is concerned, I think very good demand for steel. All the macroeconomic parameters are encouraging in India. Revival in the infra spending, PLI-related manufacturing, residential construction activity picking up, metro lines, pipelines, freight corridors, renewables. There is a very good revival as far as the overall economic activity is concerned. Over and above that, export tax withdrawal in November 2022 is also very encouraging. Indian steel demand in the first nine months of the year has gone up by 11.5% for the nine months, which is almost 1 million ton more every month. That is very encouraging. But here also the imports have gone up quarter on quarter by 40% and quarter on quarter by 47%, and year as a whole, 9 months, it went up by 40%. So imports are increasing into India, and at the same time exports have fallen. Exports have fallen by 27% quarter on quarter and 59% year on year. So this is an important issue as regards to imports going up and exports falling, and the consumption demand reasonably okay as far as India is concerned. In this background, if you see the JSW Steel's performance, it is the highest ever crude steel production. On a standalone basis, it is 5.32 million tons, showing a growth of 7%. We operated the steel plants at 92.5% capacity utilization. In Bhushan, Power and Steel improved its capacity utilization to 85% as against 72% in the previous quarter. So on a consolidated basis, we have posted a crude steel production again highest ever of 6.06 million tons, showing a growth of 9% quarter on quarter with a capacity utilization of 91%. On the sales side, on a standalone company basis, we had 4.95 million ton sales. On a consolidated basis, including Bhushan Power and Steel, it is 5.55 million tons. It appears to be slightly 1% or 2% lower on a consolidated basis volumes. But if I look at the domestic volumes are concerned, it is a very good growth. We sold over again 5 million tons. Highest ever domestic sales, 5.163 million tons, showing a growth of 2% in volume terms. But the overall volumes are lower because exports have fallen. Exports have fallen by 32% year-on-year basis. Our exports as a percentage of sales in this quarter was only 7%, 383,000. It has fallen by almost 1,70,000 tons, over 1,70,000 tons of fall in the exports. Our net sales realizations quarter on quarter have fallen by 5%, but costs also have come down by 14%, as we have been guiding that the coking coal prices will come down by around $80 in consumption terms in the last quarter. In fact, we achieved $100 per ton. But the iron ore prices, there is a slight increase quarter on quarter basis, but the power cost, ferroalloy cost, fluxes cost, fixed cost, they all came down. Let's say overall we got a benefit of 14% on quarter basis. This has translated to close to 7,900 rupees of reduction in the cost, even after offsetting 3,200 rupees of fall in the NSR. We could improve our EBITDA margin by 4,680 rupees per ton. EBITDA margin was 13%, EBITDA per ton was 8,149 rupees. Here the important point is the way last quarters we had suffered due to rupee depreciation and also the inventory losses. This quarter also it has happened in Q3. On a consolidated basis, 984 crores is the impact of FX loss and the inventory losses. This will translate to 1,750 rupees per ton. So if we take 8,150 as a margin, if these losses are not there, then the EBITDA margin is close to 9,900 rupees per ton in this quarter on a standalone basis. The EBITDA for standalone company is 4,030 crores. It is 131%. The net profit was 1,234 crores. As regards to subsidiaries, domestic subsidiaries, on a consolidated basis, the quoted, JSW quoted, including VTPL, AACCL, and VIL, there is a positive 11 crore EBITDA, which was 59 crores negative in the previous quarter. Similarly, in the case of other subsidiaries also, they have become positive in this quarter. BPSL posted 341 crore EBITDA, as against negative 183 crores in the previous quarter. So all domestic subsidiaries together, 451 crore positively contributed in this quarter. Similarly, overseas, it has a positive contribution of 112 crores. Italy has done well. It is 7.8 million euro, as in as 1 million euro in the previous quarter. Baytown has done reasonably well. It has 17.2 million EBITDA, even though slightly lower than in the previous quarter. In Mingo Junction, we were able to reduce our losses from 40 million to 22.8 million. So net-net, US has contributed 5.6 million negatively. But Italy has made a positive contribution. That's why overall, overseas subsidiaries all together contributed 112 crores positively, as against 191 crores negative in the previous quarter. So on a consolidated basis, both overseas subsidiaries and the Indian subsidiaries together, after adjusting consolidated adjustments, the net contribution is 517 crores. So the overall EBITDA on a consolidated basis is 4,547 crores, which works out to 8082 rupees per ton. The profit after tax is 474 crores. The net debt is 69,498 crores. Average cost of debt has gone up 6.89%. there is a slight increase in the debt, partly contributed by FX fluctuations, partly due to the capex which we incurred during the quarter. The EBITDA to debt is 3.51 times, the net worth is 1.09 times. The revenue acceptances are 2338, capital account acceptances are 95. We have spent capital expenditure of 4,100 crores during the quarter, so aggregating to 10,700 crores for the entire year. During the quarter, we also commissioned our coke oven plant, one battery at Vijayanagar. So in future, there is no need for us to procure coke for the Vijayanagar operations. So that will positively contribute partially in the Q3 and fully in Q4. We also commissioned our 60 megawatts power plant at Dolvi. Part of the benefit had come in Q3. Full benefit will come in Q4. On the value-added side, we have commissioned the CAL unit 0.5 million ton at Vasin and the tin plate 2 at Tarapur and LRPC unit at Vijayanagar. So these are some of the positives as far as improvement in the product mix and the cost reduction side. JSB Steel got the clearance for 9 of the projects under PLI scheme. So out of these 9 projects, 6 projects already under implementation. They are part of the capital expenditure announcements that have been made by the company. 3 more projects, we have to take it up during the course of time we will take. So PLI scheme, totally 16,751 crore is the investment. Out of that, 5,350 crores is already committed. Capital expenditure is going on. So with that, I'll stop here. If any questions are there, we are here to clarify. Thank you.
Operator, over to you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Amit Dixit from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations for a good turnaround in a very testing quarter. I have a couple of questions. The first one relates to the note 2 of the account financial statements, wherein we have received a show cause notice, you know, from the director of mines, Jodha, amounting to 702 crores. While we have not made any, you know, provision so far, but in the past we have seen that any such demand of loyalty, ultimately, you know, we have to pay. So while it appears from the note that it is currently not legally tenable, but do you foresee any such repetition that in the past, like in the past, we will have to ultimately pay the 702 crores?
If you have read the note, it is clear that it is not illegal to issue such notices. That is why the appellate authority has given a stay here. So it is not unique to JSW Steel to operate the way the mines are getting operated. So basically, the show cause notice or the demand notice was issued based on the difference between actual grade of iron ore that is being mined compared to GR report. And other is mining plan, whatever we have stated, versus what is actually happening. So it is a notional demand. It is not actual mistake that is being done. No mine in India will adhere to the GR report, the actual mining. And number two is no mine can get operated as per the mining plan. It is only indicative plans which get approved. It goes on changing. And also the mine is for 50 years. If we are mining on a single month, X quantity of iron ore of a different grade, that need not exactly match with reference to the mining plan or with reference to the GR report. So just seeing the facts itself, it shows that it is not a valid demand that has been made. So we have a very strong case which we have been advised legally. So we are contesting this particular point. That is why there was no need for any provision in our view, supported by legal experts.
Okay. The second question is the benefit from...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Dixit, but could you kindly repeat the second question as it was not very clear on the call?
No, sorry. Am I clear now?
Yes.
Yeah. So the second question is essentially on cost. You indicated in your opening remarks that the coking coal cost was on a consumption basis was down $100 per ton. What kind of movement do we expect in Q4? And iron ore prices have been moving up. So what kind of, increase in iron ore cost do you see in the next quarter? That is Q4.
So as far as coking coal is concerned, we have been able to get an advantage of $100 in the last quarter. It will be flattish this quarter. We don't expect too much of movement. It will be range bound. As far as iron ore is concerned, I think we have already seen the prices going up, and we expect this also to remain in the range bound manner in this quarter. It's already moved up in the last few weeks.
Okay, and are we carrying any inventory of iron ore? The low cost inventory?
Not. We are basically not carrying too much of inventory of iron ore. No.
Okay, great. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Satyadeep Jain from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. A couple of questions. The first one is on the follow-up to Amit's question. Can you talk about the magnitude of difference, possibly an indication of how much is the difference between the actual mining plan grade and what's actually happened in the quarter? And related to that would be any update on the IBM revision case also? I think it had gone to higher court. But after that, do we have any update on that? That's the first question.
Yes, so the magnitude of difference is not relevant here, how much difference is there. Fundamentally, we have to understand, is there any ground, either legally or otherwise, for questioning about actual grade of iron ore that is mined vis-a-vis what is stated in the mining plan or in the GR report. So it can never happen in the practical sense. It will happen over 50 years life of the mine. So based on that, the magnitude of difference is not very relevant here. Similarly, as far as the IBM revision is concerned, the prices are getting revised. Considering some of the points we have already been contesting. So there is also a proposal to make amendments, so that is to the law, to change the method of computation of average selling price. So we hope those amendments are done. In the meantime, the case is going on.
Okay. Thank you. Next question is on Bhushan Steel. Just wanted to go back to the earnings trajectory for the for that particular business till 2 quarters ago, it was used to report higher EBITDA per ton than standalone. I think it was mentioned that possibly it is because of the higher value-added mix that DPSL has, and that entire trajectory has kind of reversed in the past 2 quarters. Just wanted to see what's going on, and is that likely to sustain, or do we, once maybe things normalize, you would expect DPSL to again generate higher margins in the standalone business?
No, BPSL, as I mentioned, the capacity utilization improved. In the Q2, we had suffered due to lack of iron ore. Whereas in the case of Q3, there was high-cost inventory of coal that is to be consumed. And also there are some NRV losses which has to be taken. NRV losses were large, 158 crores in the company. Similarly, the pellet plant, there were certain shutdowns which have been taken. They had to buy the pellet from outside at a higher price. These were some of the reasons why BPSL performance was not as expected. Even then, the EBITDA per ton, which they have made in the last quarter, was 5010 rupees per ton. But this NRV and inventory losses, which amounted to 158 crores, if I take that, if they are not there in future, if you make that assumption, 2,317 rupees is on account of this one-time losses. So if I take these two into account, the actual EBITDA in BPSL is 7,307 rupees. Now, going forward in future, the capacity utilization is better. Their capacity expansion from 2.7 to 3.5 is complete, so more volumes will come. And now their costs are under control. So BPSL performance will be much, much better in Q4 over Q3.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Sumangal Nevatia from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. First, on the cost, if you could just share the dollar per ton number for coking coal. What was it in 3Q? And on the other side, we in the opening remarks shared that there is some cost deflation on other items as well in terms of power, fluxes, some consumables. So if one can quantify how much was that, and is the deflation or normalization expected in 4Q also on a quarter-on-quarter basis?
No, as far as the power cost is concerned, it's dependent upon the thermal coal prices. Thermal coal prices have come down, so due to which there is around 600 rupees reduction per ton of steel on power alone. This is expected to continue. May not be additional incremental reduction, but these prices are not going to be higher. Similarly, on the coal side, already Jayant has covered that point. There won't be any increase on account of coal, because we are more or less covered for this quarter. But then the ferroalloys and fluxes, they have started coming down. So the full benefit of lower prices of consumables, fluxes, and other items have not fully come in the Q3. So those benefits will flow more in Q4 or fully in Q4.
Okay, so is it possible to quantify? I mean, just to understand the quantum, I mean, how big is this?
No, we already said 7,880 rupees per ton is a lower cost, which is 14% lower than the Q2. So that constitutes various items. A significant portion is coking coal. Coking coal, we already given the number of $100 per ton of coal. That benefit has come. So all this together is 7,880. It's not possible to give breakup of various items.
Okay, that's fine. So second question is on the price direction. If you could just share, I mean, we do hear a lot of reports of price increases in early Jan and even mid Jan. So if you could quantify, how are we seeing the prices in this quarter, and also how is the export market looking? Have we started? How is the order book after the export duty being removed from mid November onwards?
On the pricing side, things are looking up. In the last few weeks, we have seen the international prices move up. On a dollar basis, I think China moved up by about $100. European CFR also, we have seen move up in the range of $140+. And we are seeing a reflection of that in India. Primarily, the cost increase, some of that had become unsustainable, and therefore the steel prices are coming back to a level where margins will become a little bit more livable. So you are seeing the prices increase from 1st January, and as you said, in some of the products, maybe mid-January as well. So you will see this probably play out in this quarter, which is seasonally a better quarter. And in India, fundamentally, the demand drivers are strong. Infrastructure, construction, manufacturing, automotive, CapEx coming back. So you will see this also, giving the requisite tailwind for a better demand.
Understood. I have more questions. I'll get back in the queue. Thanks and all the best.
We have the next question on the line of Amit Murarka from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. So just on the cost discussion, so I just wanted to understand, you mentioned power and fuel fell by 600 rupees per ton. So are you referring that in the context of Q4 or in Q3?
Q3.
Okay, but then can we expect a similar or a fall in Q4 as well, given that LNG has declined and generally there has been a deflation in energy costs?
No, we don't expect similar benefit incrementally to come in, but at the same time, we'll remain more or less in the same range as far as the power is concerned. One addition here is, on a combined basis, we have started in Dolvi, particularly the 60 megawatts power plant. So that benefit will come in power cost to some extent, but it is not quite substantial.
Got it. And also on your guidances which you have given in the past, are you maintaining your volume guidance and the CapEx guidance, just to confirm?
Here, I will take a minute. The total guidance we have given for the production is 25 million ton and sales 24 million ton for this financial year. This 25 million ton, there are three parts. One is 23.6 million ton is for operations on a consolidated basis other than overseas, other than JSW ISPAT specialty products. So we have given for overseas Ohio 0.7 million production, crude steel, and the JSW ISPAT we have given 0.7 lakh tons. So this 1.4 million ton, there are some slippages. In the JSW ISPAT side, we had taken shutdown almost close to 3 to 4 months for maintenance and general market conditions. That's why there were slippages in the JSW ISPAT. In Ohio also, because of the market conditions, they could not achieve the targeted crude steel. So if I take out these two, then the production guidance is 23.6 as against 25 on a consolidated basis. This 23.6 includes Bhushan Power and Steel. We have achieved 17.25 million tons so far for 9 months. So we will be able to achieve the balance in the Q4, and we will achieve our production guidance other than JSW Ispat and Ohio. Similarly, sales side, out of 24, if I take out JSW Ispat and Ohio, our guidance is 22.6. So we have achieved 15.51. So we are working very hard to achieve even sales guidance by reducing our inventories. Our inventories are concerned, during the current quarter, it went up by around 180,000 tons. We have 2.039 million tons of inventory as against 35 million tons as on 31st March 22. So there is an accumulation of inventory. There is large scope for reducing inventories. So in addition to clearing whatever we are producing, our plan is to reduce the inventories because export tax also has gone. So there is opportunity to export certain volumes from India by clearing our inventories. With that, we are keeping our guidance even for sales to achieve 22.6 million tons.
Okay, understood. Thanks for the elaborate reply. Just then the last question. So could you also quantify the external iron ore sales and revenue booking you did in the quarter?
We'll give you numbers separately.
Okay, that's all from the side. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Ritesh Shah from Investec. Please go ahead. Mr. Shah, can you hear us?
Yes. Sir, a couple of questions. First is on the CapEx. Sir, can you highlight how does the PLI scheme fit in on the CapEx that we have indicated and any color on what CapEx we should bake in for FY25?
No, the PLI scheme out of the nine projects which I talked about, three projects CapEx is not committed. Those three projects are electrical steel majorly and one tin plate facility in Bhushan Power and Steel. These are the three projects which are not there. These three projects together constitute almost close to 9,000 crores. As we have been guiding, we have to take a call on this electrical steel. We are doing a feasibility study. And in the next few months, we will take the call on this project. If I take out this 9,000 crores, the balance CapEx for the six projects total together is 5,350. As I mentioned, all these six projects are already part of our CapEx program, which includes 5 million ton of JVML project, which is being done at Vijayanagar. That includes certain special grades of HR coil covered under specialty steel. That is one. Similarly, some template lines, some of the units where we are doing expansion in the wire rod side in Bhushan Power and Steel. These are the projects which are covered under these six heads. For this, we are spending 5,350 as a part of overall CapEx program.
That's helpful. So my second question is more on spreads. Jayant sir indicated that the coking coal prices will remain flattish this quarter. I just wanted to get a sense because if we look at the spot trend line, it has been marching upwards one way to $325. So is it on back of low-cost inventory that we have or is it we are optimizing the blend which will actually give us the benefit of flattish coking coal cost curve on a sequential basis?
So it's a combination of a better blend and, you know, usually the coking coal, you have an inventory of 60 to 70 days in the system. So therefore, whatever increases are now happening, which you see, if it continues, will reflect in the quarter one of next year.
Sure, that helps. And sir, a related question, you indicated on local pricing to move up first Jan, 15 Jan for few products. If we have to look at the benchmark HRC, are the local prices at a premium to import parity math?
From an import parity perspective, if we were to see, I think we are by and large similar to the international offers now. International offers have also increased. So therefore, since international prices have gone up, we do see an opportunity for some increases in the domestic market as we go along, but we'll watch how the international prices move and then take a view.
Perfect. And sir, last question I'll just squeeze in. Sir, how should one look at the profitability of domestic sales versus exports given the duties have been taken off?
Yeah, so the international, the export numbers, especially the volume part will improve. The realizations, as you were aware, because the international markets were weak, have been lower. The going forward, we see a much improved FOB realization as far as exports is concerned. So whatever impact was there, the double whammy, one was export duty and the lower export realization, both in this quarter, we will see a positive uptrend. As far as domestic is concerned, I think we have seen an improvement in the month of January onwards. We see an opportunity for this quarter to be better than what we have seen in the last quarter. International and domestic at this point of time seem to be similarly poised.
Sure. Perfect. Thank you so much for the answers. Wish you good luck.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Indrajit from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. Two questions. First, on the net debt movement, if you can quantify what was the working capital buildup during the quarter and year to date, and what kind of liquidation can we expect in fourth quarter?
As far as the finished goods inventory, as I mentioned to you, is around 6.5-7 lakh tons, which is estimated to be 4,200 crores. So that is a kind of unwinding which can happen, but may not happen fully. It is 500,000. 75% of that, there is a scope to happen in the Q4.
Sure. Thank you. And also on the NRV loss that we have been recording for the past three quarters, as things stand today in terms of prices, if it were to continue for the full quarter, are we likely to see no NRV loss in fourth quarter, or would there be still some bit of NRV loss on accounting basis that we'll have?
So there is a 2 million ton of inventory is there today that is higher cost because costs are coming down. In this quarter, there may not be any increase in the cost. Therefore, when the opening inventory is sold, there could be some inventory loss, but it is not significant as we have seen in the past.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Pinakin Parekh from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, sir. So my first question is on net debt. Now, 69,000 crores.
Mr. Parekh, would you should kindly go off the speakerphone? Your voice is breaking up on the call.
So just looking at the net debt number, sir. 69,000 crores, it is the net debt to EBITDA is at 3.5 times. And while it is below the company's stated cap of 3.75, given that globally cost of capital is rising, liquidity is reducing, is the company comfortable with this kind of leverage on its balance sheet? We understand that there would be some working capital release, but on an absolute basis?
So even though we have been guiding 3.75, our effort is to bring it down significantly lower than 3.75. We have been working in that direction. This year is an aberration. That's why you have seen this kind of slippages in the overall EBITDA to debt. So we are not comfortable at these levels. We'll bring it down as we have been mentioning. So out of the 69,500 crores, as I mentioned, FX fluctuation is 3,400 crores in this. So otherwise, if I take it out, 66,000 crores is actual debt without FX fluctuation, because that can be reversed. If I look at January, rupee started appreciating. So 66 versus 57, this 9,000 crores is an increase, actual increase in the debt. Out of that, 4,000 crores is inventory alone. So therefore, we should be able to manage the debt as on 31st March 23 at lower levels than what is there as on 31st December. So our aim is to bring it down even below 3.5.
Sure, sir. My second question is on steel prices. If we look at the latest Chinese offers, they have gone to $640, $650 a ton. This implies landed steel prices HRC at 61,000 rupees a ton plus minus 1,000 rupees. Does the company see domestic prices rising to those levels eventually in the next 2 to 3 months, or should domestic prices remain at a discount to the imported prices? I mean, we understand that domestic HRC is around 56,000-57,000 rupees a ton.
No, I think domestic HR prices will reflect the change in international numbers. If you were to look at quarter two to quarter three, our realizations fell by 3,200 rupees, primarily in response to what has happened internationally. Prices went down by $40-$45, and that has been reflected in the Indian market as well. Since it has gone up now, we see the increase also now taking place in the domestic market. and we are expecting that this will follow a similar pattern.
Understood. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Abraham Ayer from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. First of all, congrats on reversing the results from Q2. So my question primarily concerned with, you know, a bit more clarification on the working capital reversal into the next quarter. Given that, you know, we're going to see an inventory release, would we expect the revenue acceptances to come down from the current levels of 2.3 billion? And could you please quantify how much that might be?
No, that depends upon the coking coal price. Coking coal price, if it is $300, if we say 6 months usance we await, then it should be $1.8, $1.9 billion. Then it will come down. $2.3 billion has to come down. But the issue remains is, so what would be the coking coal price in future? Based on that, this number goes on fluctuating. So therefore, 2.3 billion today, the current prices more or less will remain at these levels.
Got it. So you mentioned, 50 to 75% maybe of the 4,000 crores. That's primarily down to reduction in the current inventory levels.
Current inventory levels and corresponding amount in the debt.
Understood. Thanks a lot for the clarification, sir.
We have the next question from the line of Rahul Jain from Systematics.
Yeah, hello sir. Thanks for taking my question. So firstly, on we have seen a consistent weak performance at JSW Coated despite adding a lot of capacities there. When do we expect some kind of margin uptick and in the near term?
So JSW Coated performance below the expectation is attributable majorly to HR coil inventories. Those inventory losses were taken by Coated. So now in this quarter, if I consolidate Coated including VAL and VTL, in fact there is a positive EBITDA of 11 crores. We also have taken in the current quarter 105 crores NRV, the inventory loss. If we take that 105, if it will not be there in future, then it is 161 crores EBITDA will come in for Coated. The performance in Q4 will be much, much better in the case of Coated. So they not only commissioned their CAL line at Vasind, which I mentioned, and also tin plate in Tarapur, the second tin plate. So all this will give more volumes for Coated. Coated business, as you know, almost 35 to 40% of Coated production is intended for exports. So export duties really was a big dampener for Coated business in the first 5 months of the year, that is May to November. Now export duty is removed, export markets are looking better, so we'll be able to really push more volume, and at the same time inventory losses are not there. Both together you will find definitely very good improvement in Q4 for Coated.
Yeah, and sir, how should we look at our volume build-up over the next 2 years? Because I think from the near term, we just have volume from Dolvi, more higher capacity utilization, and BPCF, BPSL, and Vijayanagar will come in FY25. That is the right way to look at it?
No, if you look, including BPSL, including JSW Ispat, the total installed capacity fully operational by end of this financial year will be close to 27.5 or 28 million tons. So you will find definitely a good volume growth, which no other company would be able to give, at least in India. So that we can expect. Over and above that, the downstream capacity also has become operational fully at Vasind, Tarapur, Kalmeshwar, Kapoli, and also at Vijayanagar. So both we have rich product mix, and at the same time, volume growth. I think this is the story. Plus, the cost-saving projects like cocoon plant, power plants, pellet plants, wherever we have taken up, they all have been commissioned. Over and above that, in the year 2024, FY24, if you look at it, the capacity will go up by another 9 million tons by end of this financial year. So all this together, I think, very, very positive if you look at next 2 years.
Right, right, right. And so we are going to maintain the product in the sales mix, like exports 20% and remaining domestic, we are going to keep it similar?
As we have been saying, the export percentage will be 10% to 25%. That is the range. During the first 9 months, it was 12%. In this current financial year, in a challenging time where export duty was there. So it will be in this range even going forward at higher volumes also.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. Participants are requested to kindly restrict your questions to two per participant. We have the next question from the line of Bhavin Chera from Inam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Good recovery and overall performance despite challenging environment. Two questions. First on India. Iron ore, I think, was 41% captive of standalone operations. So, how that number will going forward in FY24? Any incremental mining volumes coming up?
Yeah, we are now expanding our capacity in Orissa. So we have applied for incremental increase in the environmental clearances. Some of them have come, some of them on the way. So there will be more iron ore coming in from Orissa mines. Therefore, this percentage will definitely go up.
Any numbers, sir, in terms of million tons or whatever number you can share?
It will be in the range of around 50%.
You will eventually reach around 50% by next year?
Yes.
Okay. And also, international operations, we have seen across Italy, US, and as well as plate mill profitability improving. So, will this momentum continue? As steel prices are also going up. But US is still into EBITDA losses, though the losses were lower on quarter-on-quarter basis. At the Ohio operation. So what's the outlook there?
As far as the plate mill is concerned, it is doing well. As you have seen, even in this quarter, $17.2 million they have made an EBITDA. For the 9 months, Baytown has made an EBITDA of $75 million in this year. Whereas in Ohio, majorly again attributable to inventory losses, even the $22.8 million EBITDA loss, which they have posted in the current quarter, in the Q3, out of that, $15.5 million is attributable to inventory loss. So actual loss attributable to operating profits is only around $7 million. So the Q4, we expect the things will be better than what they were in Q3.
And sir, Italy would sustain this kind of run rate?
So the Italian, we have got the Italian rail orders and the first tranche has come to us, which will basically be running till almost April, May. We also have very good export orders. So with that, we see the Italian operations run very smoothly between now to almost June. The second tranche of the Italian rail order should also be received subject to certain, contractual requirements which we need to fulfill. So that also should be there with us in the coming financial year. So Italian operations look to be good, supported by the rail business, both from Italy and from the international market.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question, line of Shubham Shukla from Voyager Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi everyone, good evening. So my question is around capacity and utilization. Like currently we're having production capacity of 28 million tons per annum and we're growing to 38 million tons. We had a utilization of 89% in financial year 2022. So like what's our utilization for this quarter and for the whole like financial year 22 and 23, both on consolidated basis and standalone? And for like next financial year with enhanced capacity we see and given the current inventory stress we have now?
inventory stress is very temporary, as I mentioned to you, because of the export volumes from the downstream falling. That was the reason why inventory got accumulated. I think we should be able to clear it very quickly. As far as the future, particularly Q4, the capacity utilization in BPSL was 85%, which improved from 72% in the Q2. So there is a scope for improving the capacity utilization on a higher installed capacity. So their volumes will increase. Second, the Dolvi unit is concerned, further ramp up is possible. So we were at 92.5% on an average basis, all the three units together, Salem, Dolvi and Vijayanagar. So there could be a possibility of increase in the capacity utilization in all these three locations.
Okay. Thank you, sir. My next question will be around the remarks and the remarks which you gave earlier on like coking coal purchase. Like we don't need them for Vijayanagar facility for Q4, like for the coming few quarters.
For the next few quarters, we don't need coke at Vijayanagar. Even if small quantities are required, there is surplus at Dolvi, so we will be able to meet without buying from third parties.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Prashant Kota from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good evening and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I have actually only one question, two parts, no second question. But if there is more strategic in nature. But if we look at the last 15-20 years, if you are observing JSW Steel and also the other companies in other sectors in India, etc., you see, six to seven main attributes that JSW has are, you know, promoter perseverance and passion for steel, capital allocation efficiency, nimble-footed sales strategy, both manufacturing and operational excellence, and doing things at large scale, and India at heart and business in mind. With these attributes, if anybody else was doing any other companies look at in India, the market caps are 3 to 10 lakh crores. So if you look at what is happening to us as an outsider when you observe, two things, sir. One is, we have not been given a level playing field on the iron ore side last 15-20 years. That is, we'll have to buy while others get it for very low cost. We'll have to buy at 100% premium and also while others get it very low cost. So now, have we registered this as a grievance to the existing authorities or the honorable government?
Prashant, if I can interrupt, your line is not very clear. Could you ask your question, please?
Hello, sir. Sorry. Sir, if you look at, am I clear now?
Yeah, but just ask your question, please.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Ashwin. Sir, if you look at the JSW's performance and track record over the last 15-20 years, and the key attributes of JSW, for example, promoter passion for steel and perseverance, capital allocation efficiency, manufacturing excellence, and a nimble-footed sales strategy, and doing things at scale, and having India in heart and business in the mind. With these seven attributes, any other sector, if you see large companies, today are 3 lakh crore to 10 lakh crore market cap. But for in our case, there have been one big setback that we have had is the lack of iron ore access, despite putting up so much capacity. Nowadays, they are inviting companies to come and put capacity and giving them money, PLI, whatever, land, resources for free. But we have never got that opportunity. So have we registered this as a grievance to the existing authorities who are more considerate, existing government functionaries and dignitaries?
So whatever has happened earlier, but this government has changed the law. Under the MMDR Act today, the resources can be given only through auction. In my view, it is a very good thing which has happened. We got at least some mines in the auction that made us to survive in the year 2020-21 by mining in Orissa. So therefore, today for us or for any new player, they have to participate in the auctions to get captive iron ore. So that we continue to do and we increase our captive iron ore in future.
Okay. So related to this, so in the rod tech, whenever that is put in place, shouldn't royalty on iron ore be given a credit and also the premiums, actually, to be honest, to be fair, to have a level playing field for all the companies?
So as you know, the concept of road tech is to be WTO compliant as giving the refund of the duties and taxes where the manufacturer is not getting the set off. That is the concept. So based on which they have to fix the quantum of refunds that could be given. So as on date, particularly the carbon steel sector, there is no ROTEP. We have been requesting to provide adequate amounts in the budget, thereby steel sector can be accommodated to get the ROTEP, which is very, very important. So whether an X item is to be included here for refund purposes or not, it depends upon whether you are getting the set off as a non-modifiable tax. If it is there, it will form part of the consideration by the government.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Alok Deora from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. So, sir, most of the questions have been answered. Just wanted to, actually I missed one question in between because also I got disconnected. This saleable steel, our guidance for this year, if you could just reiterate, because earlier we had about sales of around 24 million tons. So for this year, what the number we are looking at now, considering the 9 months, sales levels?
We answered that question. So if we exclude JSW Ispat and Ohio, whatever guidance we have given both for production and sales, we'll stick to that.
Hello, if you can call us after the call, the question was answered extensively, so we'll be happy to explain to you.
No problem. Thank you.
Call us after the call, please.
Sure.
Operator, we can take the next question.
Sure. Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ashish Jain from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Sir, I have just one question. You know, on the global steel supply side, what is the observation? Are we seeing production ramping up, across some of the key exporting nations like Japan, Korea and all? And what is your, assessment of how supplies could ramp up globally?
In the last year, if you see the global steel production has corrected downwards. And the demand correction in the last year was more than that. So in this year as well, we see the production to be impacted in many parts of the world. Certain countries like India will show a positive growth, but you will see other countries showing a muted growth by virtue of the various headwinds which economically we are facing in the world. As far as exports from China is concerned and the local domestic demand, I think China may see an upside in terms of local consumption and local demand in the second half of this year with the economy opening up. That should be positive for the world as well. The exports from China have been range-bound and they have been controlling it in the range of 4 to 5 million tons. We don't see that increasing from China internationally. So the next year on the supply-demand side, I think the situation is positively poised from the supply side slightly weaker and demand should be range bound to slightly lower.
Yep. So basically, do you think that it could tighten further in 23? And sir, what just on tighten? Chinese exports, sorry. No.
I could hear that. What will tighten, you said? Supply.
So the demand-supply balance, I mean to say, the demand-supply balance overall could tighten in 23 further is what?
Yes, because of economic headwinds in many parts of the world, there would be a supply-demand tightening which could happen, except for some countries like India and China having a better kind of a performance in H2. Domestically.
Great. Thank you so much, sir. Thanks a lot, sir. Yeah.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Noel Vaz from Union. Please go ahead.
My question has been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question. I would now like to hand it over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. The way I think Jayant has answered with regard to the calendar year 23 is concerned, if we look at 22, there is a 80 million ton lower steel production in the world. So when 80 million ton lower production is there, automatically lower demand for iron ore, lower demand for coking coal. So there should not be any reason why these prices are going up. That's why Chinese have made a statement saying that iron ore prices are completely speculative in nature if you look at demand supply scenario. Same is applicable for coking coal. If you look at 2023 calendar year, the production is not going to be higher than what we have seen in the year 2022. Even in China, assuming that it gets opened up, Chinese policy is more consumption-led growth than investment-led growth. Therefore, steel demand may not be substantially increasing in China. Further, their property market-related issues are structural in nature, so it will take time for them to recover. So therefore, overall supply side for steel still constrained. Europe is not doing well. So there, in that context, if you look at supply side is constrained, and the demand side, particularly India story, if you look at it, it looks very, very attractive for next year. So the capacities are only 154 million tons, other than NMDC's 3 million tons. We are not seeing any big supply in India, and at the same time, the incremental demand is expected to be around 10 million tons. Short term, if you look at it as far as Q4 is concerned, from JSW Steel point of view, is that there will be better volumes and there will be reduction in inventory. Costs will be under control because coking coal increases are not impacting in this quarter. Therefore, margins will be better for the Q4. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and please contact us separately if you have more questions. Back to you, operator.
Thank you. On behalf of JSW Steel Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.